Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to be reading verses 36 to 40. Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 40. And if you would like to follow along in the New International Version Bible, which is in the pew rack in front of you, it is on page 1109. Luke 7, 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?"
Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled."
"You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word this evening. I want to talk to you about the man of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the Lord Jesus this evening on an occasion when he was invited out to dinner. One of three occasions listed in the Gospel of Luke when a Pharisee invited him to dinner. It's given to us in the seventh chapter of Luke. And I want to look at the setting, and I hope now that for the next 30 minutes you can settle your minds, allow things to pass out from your attention, that you might bring yourself back 2,000 years to this room where three people are going to be gathered. And a great lesson is going to be taught by the Lord Jesus. And as we look at these three individuals, we're going to be able to see ourselves at some point there. And the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts, encourage us, instruct us, rebuke us, whatever our need is this evening. Scripture tells us that one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined the table. Now the three guests are the Pharisee. He is the host of the dinner. Jesus is the invited guest. And then the sinful woman comes in as the uninvited guest. Let us look in
on these three individuals. Why did the Pharisee invite Jesus to dinner? Just the verses before this reading tells us that the Lord Jesus was gathered with a number of the Pharisees and they were having discussions about various things, and Jesus got provoked with them once again. And as you know from the Gospels, he could get very provoked and oftentimes rebuke them strongly for their hypocrisy and for their bitterness. They complained about John the Baptist. They said he came wearing strange clothing and he didn't drink and he had a very strict diet, and they said he was mad. Jesus says, now I come. He says, and I eat and drink. And he says, you say I'm a wine bibber and a sinner. And just after that, the Pharisee says, come on over to my house for dinner. Let's look at this positively and say, well, maybe the Pharisee had been watching Jesus, had seen him heal people, had sensed that God's power was upon this man. He had heard his teaching and was taken with it and thought, every time I see him, it's always with a crowd. And people are throwing questions at him and there's loud conversation and people are touching him and there's so much confusion. I can't have my questions answered. But maybe if I could have him come to my home and we could sit down at dinner, I could talk with him personally. Maybe I could ask him these questions that I have and I could determine if indeed this man is the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. And maybe God was working in this man's heart. The Scripture doesn't tell us, although there is some significance in the way that Jesus dealt with Simon as opposed to some of the others, which we'll see in a few moments. And maybe he said, if I only can talk with him personally, maybe I can believe. And he invited him to the house for dinner. Jesus comes to the house. This is significant because the Pharisees were continually prodding Jesus. They were on his trail all the time. They were looking to trip him up. They were trying to find something against him. And if they didn't have anything, which they didn't, that was legitimate, they would make up something. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a friend of sinners. They called him a wine bibber. They didn't like him. They didn't like this new doctrine that he was bringing because it was different from theirs and he didn't accept their way. Maybe the Pharisees thought, well, maybe we could sit down at the table and talk about it. Maybe we could come to some common ground. And maybe there he was sent as a delegate from the synagogue and they said, well, Simon, go over there and sit with him and talk with him and see if you can't get some kind of an agreement. Can't we work together? Let his crowd believe what they want to and leave us be what we have and maybe we can come to some kind of an agreement. Or Simon, maybe when you go over there you can trip him up and you can bring back a report to us that we can get some evidence against him so that we can drive him out from our community. Or if need be, we'll have him crucified. Jesus, knowing all that, went to the house. You see, Jesus deals with individuals, not with a particular group of people, although he has great love and concern and often spoke of the nation of Israel. But he's interested in you and in me, and he's interested in Simon. So he knew that most of the Pharisees were against him. He knew that they were out to get evidence against him, that they could charge him. But Simon needed him. Simon wasn't forgiven. And he went and he took that opportunity. Simon had an agenda. He had questions that he was going to ask Jesus. And Jesus was open to him. Of course, Jesus knew that not long after, the lady was going to become him. Simon didn't know that. And as they're sitting down at table, and the scripture tells us a little later that there were other people there at that table as well, in comes this, what the Bible calls, a sinful woman. And she had been known in that community for a good many years for various kinds of sin. Most people say it was prostitution, harlotry. Everybody seemed to know that she was a wicked woman. And without being invited, she just moved right in to that dinner engagement. And the scripture says, she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she wet his feet with her tears. See, when Simon invited Jesus to his dinner, he invited him as an equal. I'm a religious leader. I know what I believe. I'm a representative of my religious community here. Here is another rising star in the religious field. He has some religious things that he's teaching. And we can sit down as two religious leaders. Not the lady. The lady knew that he was the sinless Son of God. For it's clear from the text that she must have met him at some place earlier. Because the scripture says that she was forgiven at this time of the sins, the many sins that she had committed. And from her heart of love and devotion to Jesus, she came in and she went down to his feet. And she was so filled with a combination of her own guilt, which had been taken away, her sorrow for sin, her great love for Jesus that had been so merciful to her, a despised sinner by the community, used and abused by people. And here this loving and gracious and compassionate man, Jesus, found her. Saved her. Took away her guilt. Took away her stain. Took away her disgrace. And realizing that, she falls down at her feet. And what a voluminous amount of tears must have been shed to wash the Savior's feet. And that hair, which was long, and which had been used in the past as an attraction for men to draw them into a web of immorality and sin, is now used through the saving, redemptive blood of Jesus. This woman who was once a sinner is a new person in Jesus Christ. And she takes that same hair and she washes and wipes his feet with it. And then she applies some expensive perfume and ointments to his feet in love and adoration. Needless to say, the Pharisee was aghast. You see, the lady went in there with her heart. She didn't particularly think much about it or use her head. But her heart was so full of love and devotion to Christ, she moved right in. Because if she thought about it, it would have hindered her. She was uninvited. She had no place there. This was a religious meeting. This was the Pharisee's house. He didn't invite her. What gave her the right to move in like that? Plus, she was obviously an embarrassment to Simon. He didn't want her in his house. She was invading his privacy. And she could have been an embarrassment to Jesus. For had Simon been appointed with getting evidence against Jesus, and he was hoping to do this through theological discussion, he had a much better opportunity with the events that were happening right before his eyes. It was obvious that Jesus had met this lady someplace before and applied the precious love and compassion that he had and forgave the woman's sins. But Simon didn't know that. And he could take that which was seen, he was seeing right before his eyes, and add a little exaggeration here and there and put in one or two lies, and he could have brought that story back to the officials. They would have had one more thing that they could use against the Lord Jesus. But she didn't think about that because her heart was so full. And friends, sometimes the love of Christ overwhelms us that we do things from our heart and we reach out because we're so filled with the love of Jesus, or the compassion for sinners, or the concern for some particular need, that it just doesn't seem logical. And sometimes maybe not appropriate. But it's when it's done for the love of Jesus, it's sanctified. And so was the action of this woman. Now Simon was aghast, and the scripture says that he said in his own heart, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus knew all about her. Furthermore, he knew what was in the Pharisee's heart. Now, I suppose if somebody else had been there, you didn't need to be God to figure out what the Pharisee was thinking. As the expression goes sometimes, I could tell by the look on his face what he was thinking. And I'm sure he made it quite evident what he was thinking regarding the lady. Now, it's interesting that he should be so surprised that Jesus would minister or allow that woman to minister to him. For on other occasions, the scripture tells us that Jesus met with the Pharisees and there was matters of eating and drinking. In the 9th chapter of Matthew, in verse 10 and on, it says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Simon, I didn't come to call you. For you're righteous in your own eyes. You don't see your need for me. Why, I came to your house here. You didn't even give me the common courtesies, Simon. Look at this woman. I came in here. You didn't have any basin of water that I could wash my feet, let alone a handmaiden that would have washed them for me. You had no nice perfume or ointment to put on me. He says, when I came in, Simon, you didn't even give me a kiss, which was appropriate, and even to this day is appropriate for men in that part of the world. He didn't do any of those things. Because Jesus was his equal. Just another religious leader. Though meeting for a theological discussion. But look what the woman did. Simon, you're righteous. I came to call sinners. And this lady recognizes her sin. And she's called for forgiveness. And it's been granted unto her. And then another occasion when Jesus and the Pharisees meet is over in the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel. In verse 37, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. And so he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. And the response that Jesus has in this situation is different than the response he has with Simon. For he says to him, the Lord said, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. And beginning there, there are six woes to the Pharisees and to the lawyers, that Jesus rebukes them bitterly and sternly for their hypocrisy. Didn't Simon know about those occasions? Didn't Simon know that in the prophecy of Isaiah, it was written of individuals who come with a contrite heart? For the scripture says in Isaiah 57, for this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is of a contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. God will receive the lowly. God will receive the penitent. God will receive the contrite in heart, such as this woman was. Then he went on to give this parable. He says, Simon, I want you to hear something. And he tells the parable about the debtors and how there were certain ones who had a debt. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and another 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Jesus is teaching Simon and teaching us that those who have been forgiven much, we love much. As the parable says, we are all debtors. We have all been debtors as a result of sin. Some it may be 50, some 500, some 1,000, various degrees. But the creditor needs to be satisfied. And we have no way to pay, just like these here had no way to pay the debt. But the creditor forgave them all. We have a sin debt, but Jesus paid it all on Calvary's cross. And the creditor is satisfied. God was satisfied with the work of Jesus in atonement on Calvary's cross. And that you and I can go set free from our debt of sin, whether we be as the woman with many sins, or be as Simon thought, with maybe just a few. Then I want you to see, as we come to the close here, the love that Jesus had for the woman. His great heart of compassion. For he turned to Simon, and I can't imagine that Simon ever even looked at the woman who was there in his house. He was so offended by the whole situation. But Jesus said to him, he says, Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus recognized her. She was forgiven. She was pure. She was holy, like she had never sinned at all. He says, Simon, I want you to look at her. Jesus loved her. He had great respect for her. And Jesus looks at you and he looks at me with a heart of love, with a heart of compassion, with an unfinished work of atonement, where the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin for eternity. And he told him how she treated him so much better than he did. Now, Jesus didn't gloss over her sins by any means, and it is important that we see here the difference between these two was that the woman, whose sins were many, saw her need. She had no way to change her situation. And she came to Jesus, which was exactly what she needed to do. He says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Yes, her many sins have been forgiven. Jesus didn't talk about the fact that she might have been abused and had come from a bad family background and maybe she had a husband at one time and he put her out and she had no way to support herself and all the various kinds of things that might have got her into this situation. And if we were to know it, we'd surely have compassion on the poor woman. All that she may have gone through and how she was abused and used by people. But Jesus said, her sins are forgiven. And anyone tonight, within the sound of my voice, your sins may be many, as hers was, or they may be few. But whatever your debt is, it needs to be paid. And the loving Savior is open to forgiving you and will forgive you just as he forgave this woman. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. No wonder she was so filled up. From being in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of Satan, she's now brought in to the kingdom of God. She has seen Jesus. She has believed on him. Now I want to remind you of one thing. It's very clearly set here in the last verse of this text. Jesus said to the woman finally, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Faith is the basis of our salvation. Now the wonderful work that she did, the loving compassion, concern, and the expression that she made for Jesus was not the thing that saved her. That was a result of her saving faith that had taken place at another time when she had met Jesus, had heard his teaching, had believed on him, and had sensed the forgiveness, had sensed the release from the bondage and the web of sin that was around her and her shame and guilt. That had been all rolled away. And now she felt whole. She knew she was whole. She knew she was clean. She knew she was pure. And to have Jesus say to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, works can never save. She could have done many other things. The Pharisees thought the works could save them. And they were about many, many, many types of works. Prayer and giving and good works and alms and all kinds of things that they were doing. Well-meaning. But they were depending upon those religious works for their righteousness. And works can never save. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's important. We always remember that it was her faith that saved her. And as a result of her faith and the knowledge of her sins forgiven, then her heart was filled with devotion and love and service. And she that was forgiven much, loved much, as was expressed here at the feet of the glorious Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Now may we, as followers of Jesus, endeavor to have hearts that are open, for in our communities, in our offices, our schools, wherever we may be, we have men and women who are burdened down with sin. They will never meet Jesus face to face on this earth. They don't know about His compassion. They don't know about His love. They don't know about His great mercy. Oh, you say, well, they can get a Bible from our Gideon friends. They can hear the radio. They can watch television. My friends, they're not doing that. They're not interested. Many of them are not even aware of their peril. But when this woman saw Jesus, she found a friend in Jesus that took away her sins. Are you a friend of sinners? That's what they said about Jesus. They accused Him of that. They said, you're a friend of sinners. You eat with them. You drink with them. You associate with them. And they condemned Him for that. But as we follow Him and name His as our Savior, are we a friend of sinners? Are you open to eat and to have coffee or associate with people that have great needs so that they can see in you someone who cares like Jesus cared? And then you, in His name, can minister to them and tell them how they, like this woman, can be forgiven of their sins. Oh, that's what the Lord would have us to do. That's the kind of loving service that He would have for us today, that we would show forth His love, His mercy, His grace, and His compassion to a lost and dying world. They're waiting out there. There's no difference, this woman, than men and women right outside our doors here. Most of them, it is true, are not interested. Most of them will reject, just like they did in this day. But there are some. There are some. And Jesus would have you to find them. May God grant it. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the great love of Jesus that reached down to us, undeserving. We weren't seeking You, but Jesus found us. Lord, we thank You for that. Now in the days that You've given us, may we know Your heart, and may we be sensitive, caring men and women that will show forth that same love, that others will be attracted to the beautiful and loving Savior of mankind, the compassionate, full of mercy, full of grace, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior.